Hello guys, and welcome back to the next episode of Eco Fitness Connect Through Movement. And we are certainly connecting through movement with my next guest on the podcast. I haven't had a guest on the podcast in a while because life has just been so busy, but I couldn't turn down the opportunity to have Evelyn on the podcast when she said yes when I asked her. Evelyn is a mom, a busy mom of four. She lives in Mayo. I live in Dublin. I trained Evelyn online for 6 weeks one-to-one via Zoom last September for an hour every week, helping her with her fitness, helping her get back into exercise, helping her with her nutrition, guidance, habits, all that jazz, helping her build up her stamina and her confidence. And Evelyn then decided to stay on as an online fitness member, joining our live classes. So Evelyn just completed the Dublin full marathon, bearing in mind that Evelyn was struggling to do 5Ks back in 2022, September 2022, with low energy, low moods, low stamina, legs shaking, and just super busy with four kids and not finding the time for herself. So fast forward to a few weeks ago, and Evelyn completed the Dublin Full Marathon. I am super proud of this lady. If you are struggling to think you've no time to put into yourself, putting marathons and running aside, because some people are allergic to marathons and running, putting all that aside, if you are struggling to find time for yourself to put into your health and your fitness, this is the podcast for you, because Evelyn's super busy with four kids and she found the time and she's super inspiring. As I recorded this podcast with Evelyn, I was like, who is this girl from 2022? This one sounds like Tony Robinson. Who is this girl? I was like, the confidence, the mindset, the healthy mindset, everything about this podcast is amazing. Knowing where Evelyn came from back in September 2022, really struggling with energy, really struggling with time, and legs shaking, and just her fitness was really low to where she is now. If you want to be inspired to get fit and healthy, regardless of who you are and how much time you think you don't have, this is the podcast for you. Enjoy and chat to you at the end. So Evelyn, thanks a mil for coming on the podcast. I was talking to Evelyn last week, post-marathon, Dublin Marathon, first Dublin Marathon, and we were chit-chatting away, and I was saying to Evelyn, do you know what, this would be a nice story, an inspirational message for not only my members, but other people listening that who are kind of toying between, oh, will I do running or I won't do running? And I was there listening, if they hear Evelyn's story of where Evelyn started and to where you are now and breeze through the Dublin Marathon, they might be inspired to do it as well. So Evelyn, thanks a bit for coming on. Do you want to introduce yourself a bit more?
Yeah, thanks, Karina. So my name's Evelyn and I'm basically a stay-at-home mom. I have four boys, aged between 6 and 11. And basically, I just started getting into running there probably about 3 or 4 years ago. I started getting into park runs and I wanted to just get some headspace, time away from the kids. I wasn't doing anything for myself. So I started off with the park runs, and as they were going along, I kind of felt I was really enjoying them, getting out fresh air, getting out, meeting people. It was a great, great social way to get meet people. But I just felt I still wasn't very strong or fitting my body, fitting myself. So kind of a year then, September last year, I started with Karina and we started doing the online fitness classes. And from then on, I just felt my body was just totally different. I just felt a lot stronger. And when I go for a run, it was great because I'd have no more shaking in my legs, no more weakness. And I just felt better, stronger running. And as the running came then, and as I continued with the classes with Karina, I just like started to feel much better and stronger myself.
Yeah, because when you started with me, Evelyn, I remember we did one-to-one for 6 weeks first because you're in Mayo and I'm in Dublin.
Yeah.
And we did it all on Zoom, and then you do the live online classes with dumbbells and strength conditioning and stuff like that. But I remember you were saying your legs were just so weak and shaky. And yeah, I was explaining about the glutes. If you want to get stronger with the running, we have to work on some hamstrings and some glutes and postural work. And that's more or less what we were working on for the first 6 weeks was posture correction, I remember, on Zoom, yeah, and squats and lunges and stuff like that, to get you doing the correct technique, I suppose, which helps with the runs.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly it. Because I was like, I had decided then last September, my youngest laddie, Killian, he was starting big school. And I was like, this is my time now to really focus on getting back into my fitness where I actually had time. Because I just felt like that My legs, I used to say to you, my legs just felt like they were like I was a 70-year-old woman. My legs were so weak. And I was 39. I was like, this is not normal for a 39-year-old. And people say to me, God, you've had four kids. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm still young. I should not feel this tired. My body shouldn't feel this tired all the time. So that's where it kind of came from. And that's just what I wanted to improve. When I finally had the time when all the kids were in school, and I could just, for the first time, probably in 10 years, I could just focus on myself and get my own fitness back. And I never thought I'd be interested in the online because I never did it before, but the online suited me perfect because the classes I do are 6:30 in the morning. I get it done and dusted before the kids wake up. And if I do nothing else for the whole day, I know I've that bit done. So I was very happy with it.
Yeah, and it fitted in. And just looking back, I suppose, Evelyn, we worked on, I suppose it was the weights, just for anyone listening, it was the weights. You were walking as well to loosen out and for the muscle recovery. And then we started to increase your protein for the muscle recovery as well. And other techniques, like we were looking at your breathing. Was it your chest or the asthma? Was there something at some stage, or was it just the breath?
No, it was just focusing on the protein. I probably wasn't getting a lot of protein into my diet, and I'm a celiac as well. That was it. So it
That
was
was
just kind of zoning in more on the nutrition side of things. I'd fairly be on top of things when it comes to my gluten-free diet, but just in terms of I probably wasn't getting enough protein and how important it was when you're working out to get the protein in between and just focusing on that as well. So that was a big learning thing for me as well, like just to know what I should be eating and trying to just document what I was eating for the first while and just trying to identify areas where I needed to improve.
Yeah, and I looking back, it was protein. And then once the protein increased, I remembered all the kind of sugary snacks coming in kind of decreased
Yeah.
as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because the gluten, when you're on a gluten-free diet, the snacks and stuff, they're so full of sugar. They're worse than your regular biscuits and cakes. And I probably was having too much of those. I know I was. And that was draining me too, like, but it was just, it needed to be highlighted, needed to be zoned in a bit more. And I needed to know myself to kind of appreciate what I was eating and what I should be eating, especially when I was working out, because I know if I was going to push too hard with the workouts and I wasn't getting my diet right, it wasn't going to work. It wasn't going to get the right, I wasn't going to get the right balance, like.
Yeah, I'm delighted you said that, because that's sometimes what happens is people push hard and hard with the workouts, but forget that their diet, it doesn't have to be 100%, because you know me, I'm not 100%. I love chocolate.
Yeah.
I love it. So, but I have to wrap the good food around the chocolate, or otherwise I'd burn out with all that I do, working out wise and work and stuff like that. So I'm glad that you highlighted that it was a stepping stone of learning. Okay, I need to recover back. How am I going to do it? Get the good food in first and then wrap the other stuff around it then.
Yeah. And like I still love, like I often say we're so limited with our diet when it comes to being celiac, but I still love my chocolate. And even during the training for the marathon, I was very, very strict with my diet during the week. But then when I did a long run at the weekend, I had that massive bar of chocolate afterwards. I didn't care. I treated myself and I continued that right on up until probably the week before the marathon itself. Like I just had to have my something nice. I just, I had to have it, like.
Yeah, and that kept you going. So when you first start, when you first started with me, Evelyn, I keep on saying Evelyn, your hubby does marathons, doesn't he?
He's done two or three. He did the first Dublin Marathon, he did 2019, and I was up there with him last year doing the marathon. He did his marathon again last year. And I was up there in 2019 with the boys, and it was great. But I was looking at the gang of people running, and I was like, you're mad. Why would you put yourself through it? I couldn't understand it. I respected them for what they were doing, but I could not understand why you would do it, even though I'd been running a bit myself at this stage. Could not get it. I was like, that's crazy. But it was so weird last year then when I was up there with them, probably knowing more about it. And my attitude totally changed. I had nothing but admiration for the guys doing it. And it was totally like, I get it now. I get why you want to do a marathon. You want to set a goal. You want to see, like everyone has their own reason, but you want to just see, can I do this for whatever reason I have? And actually, coming down in the car that night, he reminded me, I'd forgotten this, but he said to me, I turned around and said to him, I want to do that next year. And then I applied to the lottery system because that's how you get into Dublin Marathon. And luckily enough, I got a ticket. So that was it, like.
You were meant to do it.
I was meant to do it, yeah.
Yeah. I love the way you say your attitude changed, because as you were getting stronger, like with the weights, it's I we call it here being in flow. Like as you're naturally getting stronger and fitter, you naturally want to do more. And then your mindset changes. This is how I feel. Like, because I only started running like the last 5 years, and I only started doing half marathons last year. Or was it last year or the year before? And I was allergic to them. I was like, why would I be doing that to my knees and my joints? This is what I was telling myself. But the fitter I got, the more it naturally progressed that I wanted to do other things. Then I started to make it a wish list, like quest, adventure races, half marathons. And you've actually inspired me to do a full marathon next year, which I'm going to do. I'm going to apply for Dublin. If I get it, I get it. But I'm going to also apply for Amsterdam, because that's flat. It's around the same time. So if I don't get Dublin, I have Amsterdam and vice versa. But you do naturally progress as you're getting stronger, and you want to kind of go, well, I can do more. And the goal is the biggest thing, a goal.
Yeah, and I think it seemed more achievable because of the work I started doing on myself. It just probably seemed more achievable. And then with Jerry doing the marathon, I very, very much clued into what's involved with the training, and it's not easy, like, but I had an inside look of what's actually involved. And he's works hard, he works long days, but he was able to fit in his training, and I thought, well, if he can do that, surely I can do that, and I can fit in my training. Now that all the kids are in school, I kind of thought it's doable. It was more doable than a couple of years previous when I still had small kids at home. It was just seemed more possible, and it just really got me thinking about it. And I couldn't believe the words came out of my mouth myself. I was like, my God, I can't believe that. Then when I got the ticket, then I was like, Jesus, this is serious now. I probably was half thinking I wouldn't get it, like.
So
Oh Jesus, I have to go through with it now. Like, I have to go through with it now. So
I remember when you texted me, I was like, oh my God, well done. I was like, she's going doing it. So when you started with me last year, we'll go through the time frame. So we worked on weights, we worked on getting strong, the protein. You were doing a bit of yoga then at that stage online as well, to relax the nervous system and to keep the anxiety levels down while you were working out, to save the injury. So this was the process me and you were figuring out over the 6 weeks and beyond. And then you started to work on the breathing. Do you remember we started to talk about breathing and the importance of the breath and the expanding the lungs? So you were practicing that as well. Yeah, and then
No, I was just going to say, yeah, I kind of started focusing. When I'd be doing the workouts, I realized I wasn't breathing. You just kind of be holding your breath. And then I remember you saying, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. And I hadn't really copped onto that. And then I was like, geez, that's so important when you're actually lifting weights and doing everything. You have to become aware of your breathing. And I just thought, yeah, that's mind-muscle connection there as well. Like, focus on your breathing and focus on what area of your body you're working on. So that really helped me, because it just helped me to zone a bit more in what I was doing in the moment, as opposed to, oh, let's just get this done. Because sometimes you just completely forget that you have to breathe properly, like when you're doing the exercises, like.
And the reason I brought in breath is because it actually is an important component to running. That if you're not breathing correctly or even aware of your breath, it would actually exhaust you quicker. And especially for long runs, like getting in tune with that breath and getting into a rhythm actually helps you with your long runs. Would you agree?
Yeah, totally. Like, because the first time when you start doing running, you feel you're getting out of breath quicker. But I noticed as I kept practicing, as I kept the more runs I'd done, the more runs I did, the more breathing came easier to me. I didn't feel out of breath, and like the breathing wasn't so heavy, like it wasn't like strained or anything like. And I kind of thought, you do get that with more practice as well. The more you run, the better you breathe as well. And it was so important as the time went on, that the breathing part just became a lot easier to me, like.
Definitely. I think the best elements to work on for running, especially long runs, to reduce injuries is hamstring work, glute work, band work, working on the glutes and focusing on that hip hinge all the time, breathing, and the recovery tricks with Epsom salt baths and protein and all that. So after booking the marathon, I remember you were saying to me that your hubby went to got the VO2 max test done. So that was the next step, was the breath. Do you remember?
Yes, yeah. So I went to this guy that Jerry knew up in Clare Galway, and he was a running coach, and basically he does this test on the treadmill. Now, it was all based on heart-based training. So the whole idea is after he runs this test, he identifies your certain zones within what you run in. And there's about three or four zones, and you basically follow your heart rate on your watch. So that was basically what that test was about for me. It was just identifying the different zones, and he would send me off. He would do a bit of a plan for me, and he'd say, when you're running now for 40 minutes, try and stay within zone one. And that's basically staying within certain heartbeats, certain heart rate, and trying not to go above that. And that was very, very good, because I used to find when I started, if I was running too hard, I'd get an awful stitch. But now I wouldn't realize I was going that fast. But if I pulled it back a bit, I'd steady myself and it started to come easier to me. But that was basically based on the heart-based training. So keeping an eye on where my heartbeat was and my heart rate was, and just trying to follow that. And that just helped me kind of steady myself for my runs, really, without basically pushing too hard.
Yeah. So what that means is, because I did the VO2 max test as well to improve my half marathon, to get ready for a marathon. And the biggest thing that people do, include myself and everybody, is because we're meant to run with packs. As human beings, we run with packs and we go faster and faster and faster. But when you're looking at long runs, when you're running too fast, you exhaust yourself, you're out of breath, and you're just exhausted too quick. Whereas staying within the heart rate keeps you within a certain pace, as a pace to suit you, that you're able to talk while you're jogging, you don't get out of breath, you don't get stitches to a degree, and you're able to stay going longer. So you get mileage out of yourself.
Yeah, that's it. And I found actually, like, it was more enjoyable then. The run was more enjoyable. I wasn't kind of saying, oh God, I'm wrecked now already, and I've only done whatever, 6 or 7K. You kind of were just, it's basically finding a pace that suits you. And that helps you identify the pace that suits you. And you stay within that pace then, and you can manage the run a lot easier. I like that. I was find I was able to hold a conversation with someone running, because before I wouldn't be able to hold a conversation. I wouldn't really want to talk to anyone while I was running, because I know I find it hard. But I did a half marathon there. It was in Lewisburg, and actually I was talking to this girl for ages, and we were from about 12K onwards. I was having a great chat with her. I couldn't believe it that I was able to keep talking to her up the hills and keep running at the same time, like. But that's all progress over time. Progress. It's totally progress. And it's all just habit and consistency. And like, when you're doing a proper training plan for the marathon, you're running three runs a week anyways. So it's just all naturally comes. It naturally comes and develops over time, like, when you stay with it and keep consistent.
Yeah. And our training plan. So once you said to me about the full marathon, 3 months before the full marathon, I think it was, we changed the training plan. So it was one of my strength conditions a week, because at that stage, like, going by pictures you were sending me, you could tell that you had loads of muscle built up. Yeah. With the weights, you had a strong body built up. So you weren't going into the half marathon training with no strength conditioning done or no muscle. You were going in with a lovely base. So then the training plan got changed to three runs and one strength conditioning a week, and you were doing your glutes as well.
Yeah. Go on.
And you did that right up until the marathon, wasn't it?
Yeah, that started about 16 weeks before the marathon. And I just kept that going. And it was great to have a plan too. The thing about the marathon too is, when you have your training plan in front of you, you just know exactly what you're supposed to do. And it's outlined very clearly what you're supposed to do. And you just try your best to achieve it. Like, there was sometimes, you know, I remember one time I missed a long run because I was sick. So I was out of action for 3 or 4 days. There was another time I missed a long run. The weather was shocking, and I was supposed to do 20K, and I ended up doing like 9K on the treadmill instead. And like, things will happen, like, but as long as you just keep coming back and keep trying and keep showing up and doing a bit, you will get there. Like, because like, it is, you know, you will get sick, or someone will get sick, or you'll miss something. Something will happen. It always is the way, like.
Yeah. And I suppose the key message there is just be flexible. Like, show up and do what you can. And like, I got a training plan off my physio. I did my VO2 max with my physio. And he said, what's your goal? I said, just to do it without injuring myself, because my time is limited. And since I started doing half marathons, I've actually increased my workouts with my job. So I was afraid I'm going to injure myself. And A, I'm going to be out of action with my job, what I love doing. And B, I won't be able to run. And then I won't be able to bring in an income for my family. So I'd all this worry. So he was like, what's your goal? I said, to finish the half marathon with no injuries. And he gave me this big, massive training plan. And I said, Dara, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to follow that. I said, I'm just telling you now, I'm not going to follow it. But at least he gave me a plan and I'll do a little bit to keep me maintained and conditioned. But I know when it comes to the full marathon now, I'll have to zone in like.
Yeah. You kind of have to try and stick to it the best you can. And what we found, a lot of the training was during the summertime. So it's just a very busy time. Like our kids are all into their sports and everything. And I was trying to do my long run on a Sunday or a Saturday when Jerry was around. But because we were getting so busy with the sports with the boys, he was gone with them. So we had to be even more flexible and we had to get our niece in to look after the kids. Like you have to try and work around it. You could very easily say, oh, screw it. I can't do that now because the boys have this and, you know, I've no one to mind the little one or whatever. But you have to just try and find a way, and you will find a way. You will actually work it out. If you just sit down and think about it, you will actually find a way. So we got our niece and she was a godsend there for a lot of the long runs because she was able, because I'd be gone when I'm doing a long run, like I'm gone 3 or 4 hours, like it's, I'm not back in 2.5 hours. It's a big day. It's a day out. Like it's,
it's a day out.
As my friend said to me, and I was training for the marathon, she said to me, my God, it's an awful thing. You have to actually train for a marathon to get away for yourself, get away in yourself. Like, and I was like, oh my God, I know the things like we have to do. But it was that
day out.
A day out.
It's true. It's true. I know. No, come here. So you were feeling good, right? So since you started with me, was that nearly a year?
Yeah, I started with you at the beginning of September.
Yeah, last year.
Yeah, last year. September last year. And then like the October, I would have decided to do the marathon, we'll say the end of October last year at the marathon. But really, when I got the lotto ticket, I think it was January or whenever the lotto ticket comes out, that's when I had to, you know, really focus on it. And I did. I kept up my 5Ks. I kept up my strength and conditioning with you. And I also really focused on the diet. Oh, the other thing, it's kind of a sidestep to this. I got the food intolerance test with you. And that was a game changer for me too, because it turned out I was intolerant to a lot of things. So when I knew that as well, that changed a lot because I was eating a lot of dairy and sugar that I shouldn't have been eating. And I really, really cut down on that big time. And that helped with my energy and everything, like massive.
I forgot about that.
Was in October. That was October last year. We did that.
I remember that. That was with Yvonne O'Shaughnessy, who I have her intolerance kits here that I give to clients. They post them down. You do the blood test yourself, or blood prick yourself, you post it down to Yvonne. Yvonne comes back with a list of foods. And did you find after doing tidying up the diet again that your energy increased again?
Completely, because I cut down sugar big time. My food intolerance results showed I was highly intolerant to dairy, sugar. And there was some other things, there was a few other smaller things, but dairy and sugar were the main things. And I cut down the sugar, like I stopped taking sugar in my tea. I gave up alcohol as well, but that was kind of for a different reason, but that all helped, like, do you know what I mean? And dairy as well, I started using goat's milk and I just cut down big time. And even though I can have dairy, I know myself, if I take too much, I'm just not right the next day. I'm not right. So that helped massively. That actually was probably one of the massive things when I think about it, like, do you know what I mean? That really, really helped me focus, zone in on my diet, and really helped me identify, actually, you're taking foods that you really shouldn't be taking. Like, do you know what I mean? I thought like I was going grand because I was so focused on my gluten-free diet, but actually there was a lot more work to do. And once I did that, yeah, a lot more energy. And easier then to identify when you are feeling sluggish, oh, I've ate something I shouldn't have, you know?
Yeah. And do you think now, because in case anyone's listening to this, there's a lot of messages in this podcast, which is good, but anyone listening to this that might be getting a bit overwhelmed, it was a bit of a stepping stone that you did. Like we watched the food at the beginning for the 6 weeks through a food diary, and we made little changes like more protein, less sugar, less processed. And I remember at the time you went alcohol free, because you were like, I think I'll go alcohol free. And I said, it's up to you. And that was a game changer for me. The with muscle recovery and sleep and power and strength was the alcohol and the sugar. Game changer. I still eat sugar, but I'm more mindful of it now. When I do, I'm useless for 2 days when I eat loads of sugar. Useless.
Yeah, you just know it, like, you know it in your body, like, you know, you just completely know it. I gave up the alcohol actually the end of August before starting with you. I just was sick of it. I'd gone off it. I just wasn't enjoying it the way I used to. And then I said to myself, oh, I'll wait now till Christmas, see how I feel. Christmas came, wasn't a bit bothered, got through the Christmas without it. I haven't gone back to it. I don't drink now. So I actually officially now just don't drink. I'm not a bit bothered about it. I don't miss it. But I think if I had been drinking, oh, I wouldn't have had the same motivation. There's no way I would have said to Jerry, coming down from the marathon, oh yeah, I think I want to do that next year. And like, I don't know what I probably would have talked myself even applying to the lotto, like to try and get the marathon, because I just don't think I'd have the same get up and go. I don't know, it's funny because, you know, you got to get up early at the weekends, you got to do your park runs, you got to just get up and early. And if you like your drinks on a Friday night, you're not going to get up on a Saturday morning and do it. It's one or the other, like. And I was very much like, I could go 2 or 3 months without alcohol. It's no big deal. But then I'd go a bit mad at the weekend. And then, like, you'd be feeling crap. Like, so what was the point? Like, I'd lose a whole weekend and nothing was done. Like, but
I was the same.
I don't miss it a bit.
I don't miss it a bit. You mentioned there, and then we'll get on to the run up to the train at the marathon day and all that. You mentioned there that sugar was draining you. So, like, I find that alcohol, I'm not anti-sugar or not anti-alcohol, it just doesn't suit me. Alcohol drains me, sugar drains me, and yeah, it's just the drains that are pulling you down.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you just, when you go off something, I find, and even if you're just doing it for 6 weeks, I'm not even saying going off for good, you will notice the difference when you go back on it again, that it just changes you a bit. Your energy levels are gone, you're feeling sluggish. And you know yourself that this does not suit me. And like, I still like that. I love my sweet stuff and I will still go a bit crazy at the weekends. But I know it, like, the next day then I'm like, Beth, I shouldn't have had that, too much of that. Like, but I still have it because I like it.
Yeah, oh, I'm the same. I went wild Sunday because now that I'm working most weekends with all the solo events and stuff like that, like, you're eating scones and you're eating sweets and I'm the worst. I buy biscuits for them.
Yeah.
And I open the biscuits after the walk and go, sure, do you want to get a cup of coffee and have a biscuit? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to eat all of these.
Yeah. Like, it's so hard to have a cup of tea without a biscuit or something nice. Yeah. Like, it's so hard. Like, but I think, I suppose with me, it was just too much. I've kind of now got into the habit. I just have my chops right at the weekends. And I kind of just, if I'm just fairly good with my diet during the week, it's grand at the weekends. But
grand.
Before, I'm just like having it all, too much of it.
Yeah, I'm the same. I wait now to the weekends because I'm gone every weekend working and I'm like, I'll have my biscuit or my scone or whatever and it's grand. So come here. We're leading up to the marathon day, right? So the crack. So the day before, what's the crack? You know the way people always say, load up on the carbs and all that crack and all this crack. Go on, fill it in.
I just, I did load up a bit of the carbs, but the main thing was me. I said, I better just be really strict with my diet now. Just for the week before, I ate no crap. I just stuck to, I didn't change it too much. I would say don't try bringing in anything new into your diet the week before, because just stick to your normal diet routine that you have every day. Do load up a bit on the carbs, a bit of extra pasta, a bit of extra rice. But I was kind of doing that anyway, so there wasn't too much work to do there. Drink loads of water, I would say.
Electrolytes.
I was having electrolytes for all my runs, actually, in the training plan, even the short runs that were 40 minutes. I actually found them great, really, really good. Better than water alone. When I wasn't using the electrolytes, I was getting headaches if I was just drinking water. So I was just using the electrolytes. They were brilliant. So I would have had them for all my runs. And yeah, I had more, I would have had them during the week before as well. Plenty of water and then, you know, try and get early nights and stuff like that. We went up to Dublin the night before because Jerry and the boys came and we stayed overnight. That was good. Bit crazy with the boys because we're all in kind of one family room and it's a bit crazy. You don't get much sleep, but look, I think wherever I wasn't going to sleep much the night before anyway, so that didn't really matter. So that was it, and just tried to have a nearly enough night, and then it was the next thing you know, it was marathon day.
Yeah, so you got And now I suppose going into the marathon, you were happy enough to finish it, not looking at time to a degree, just get this done.
Yeah, my goal always was, when it came to the marathon, I just wanted to see, could I be fit enough to complete it? I knew, just based on how the long runs were going, I knew I was never going to run it. I thought, if I get to 26, 28K running, I'll end up walking running the last 12. That was fine. I always knew that along. I just wanted to see whether I fit enough to get to a stage where I could actually turn up on the day and do it. And that was my goal. Always, always my goal right from the beginning. So that's what I did.
That's good. And I think that's a good approach because like I just do half marathons now just to finish them and I breeze through them. I can't believe I breeze through them. That's why I'm like, yeah. I could definitely do a full now, cop on.
Yeah. You have to get to that stage. When you feel you can do a half fairly comfortably, you know you're ready maybe to go a bit further.
Yeah. And someone told me, and then we'll go on to the marathon, because this is a good point. One of my clients who's actually 50 next year, she's done all the half marathons, but she never did a marathon. And she goes, the best advice I can give you, Karina, now is because you're in flow now, keep going. If you stop and don't have something booked in and don't keep some sort of training plan going, even a conditioning run, 3K a week, she goes, it'll go for 2 years and you won't go back. You'll be out of flow and you'll be like, all right, that boat has sailed now. So I think keep going and keep going and flow. Keep booking things and keep having goals.
Yeah. And you see, you're progressing all the time. You mightn't realize it, but you're absolutely progressing all the time. Because even now, like I just did a park run there at the weekend. I found that so easy. And it's not that it was necessarily fast. It wasn't even a fast park run, but it was the most enjoyable, comfortable run I had done because it was just so easy. Like, because I progressed from 5-10 halves to the full, and you're doing that through all your training. And even it doesn't matter how fast you do the marathon or you walk, run, you've been progressing all the time and building up your body anyways. So you're naturally getting better all the time, even if you don't think you are. You actually naturally are because you're doing it on a regular basis. Like,
consistency and showing up and flexibility, just and yeah. Keep going and have a goal. And just be okay with changing the plan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So marathon day, tell us the crack.
So marathon day. So we're all up early, the crack of dawn, 5 o'clock. Everyone's mad awake. My wave was going out. My wave was going out at 9:45. And I was very nervous now in the morning. I was very, very nervous, I have to say. And I actually, I said to Jerry and boys, look, it walked so far with me because I don't like the hotel we were staying was actually great. It was on the route. So it was about a 25-minute walk to get to. But I said, just come walk with me as far as you could. So the boys came and they walked with me and they came as far as they could. And then I had forgotten that I had met two girls. I knew two girls from Ballinlough who were doing it. And I'd forgotten with all the hype, I'd forgotten to text one of them. And I said, oh, feck, I never thought to text Regina to tell her, to see if we could meet up. And you know what? So many people, it's impossible to meet up. But anyways, I was going along and the boys had gone at this stage and I said, I'll go to the bathroom. And there was Regina and the other girl, Caroline, in front of me. So I was delighted. It was so good to see them because we hadn't trained together, but I'd meet them every so often and they'd be telling me how they were getting on and I was telling them how I was getting on. So we got to, and they were in the same wave. So we got to start the marathon at the same time. We walked up to our wave line. And it was just great to actually start it off with someone. Like, I didn't think I'd be that bothered about starting with someone, but it was actually lovely. I didn't see them for the rest of the marathon. They were well gone ahead of me. But it was really, really nice. So it just worked out. I saw them, so it was great.
Good. And did you bring electrolytes? Did you bring anything with you?
Yeah, I brought electrolytes, a small bottle of electrolytes. I had the running gels I have been using. I would say if you're going to try the running gels, you need to be using them all through your training plan. I found ones that I liked and I stuck with them. And I brought about 3 or 4 with me on my belt. And I brought electrolytes. And then it was just water along the way. Loads of water stations. You're never going to be short. You're going to be fine for water stations. Absolutely fine. So yeah, it was great. There was just a great buzz, a great atmosphere. So it started off grand. It was fine. And we're running along then for, I'd say about 5 or 6K, we get a massive, massive shower. Like, we got drowned very early on in the marathon. Like, you don't really feel it too bad, but it was quite heavy. We actually all got drowned. So from about 7K onward, then I started to get a bit of a stitch in my side. I thought I'd gone out too hard. And I said, Ara, look, that'll ease, that'll go away. But it didn't. It actually kept with me. And then I realized, no, I'm actually not feeling well. I just wasn't feeling well. So I kind of said to myself, look, you'll be fine. Don't panic. Take your time. Take a break if you need to. You'll be absolutely fine. And I did that. I just kept taking, I took a couple of breaks. There's water stations, Portaloos, everywhere, every couple of miles. So you're totally fine. And I just remained calm and I didn't panic. And I said, this will pass. And it did. And sure enough, by the time 21K came, it had passed and I felt much better. And I was so relieved. And I just felt I could totally focus on the run from then on. So that was great.
Good. Well, that just goes to show. And you were, when you told me this story, you were saying your mindset, because you were like, you, if that was before, you would have just given up. The pain in my stomach, I'm done. So tell us about the whole mindset, because
beforehand, probably about, I don't know, a couple of weeks, I really kind of zoned in myself. I was doing a lot of meditation. I'd say about a month beforehand, working on my breath work, meditation, and just totally healthy mindset. Just totally focusing on gratitude and being in the present moment. And I feel that when I was feeling sick, I just stay calm. I said, just don't panic. You're going to be fine. And I don't believe I would have been like that if I hadn't been taking the extra steps I've been taking in the run up to the marathon, because it's so easy to say, like, look, when you're sick, it feels crap. Like, you feel crap when you feel sick. And I could have just gone to the side, asked one of the volunteers, look, I have to come out of this. But I would have been so disappointed the next day if I had dropped out. So I said, look, just keep going, stay calm, you're fine. And I kept repeating that to myself, and I was fine, and I knew I would be fine. And once I got to 21k, I could put that all behind me and I could focus back on the running. And you really just appreciate the fact that you're there running a Dublin marathon, and you're there like with so many people who are all just in it for whatever reasons. Like, it's a great place to be. It's a great atmosphere. And it's so, such a good experience to do something like that when you, you know, when you're able to do it and you're healthy enough to do it, like, just to be there, like.
And I remember you saying to me before, because affirmations, like, I know people say they're woozy, weary, they're hairy fairy, but like, without them, I honestly wouldn't be able to do as much as I do, because I have to convince myself sometimes when I'm tired that you're well able. And I'm talking to myself, it's like good cop, bad cop. Like when I'm like you, when I'm during exercise or running or anything that I find really tough sometimes, I'm telling myself, you're grand, you're well able, your legs are strong, go on, your glutes are strong. You're talking to yourself all the time.
Totally. I just never let a negative thought get into my head, even through the training process, because the long runs are challenging when you're getting used to them. I never let a negative thought come into my head. And if I thought one was coming, I just sapped it out completely. And I focused on myself, focused on just basically praising myself, saying you're doing fine. I actually really used to say I am strong, fit and healthy a lot. And then I kind of changed that to my body feels strong, fit and healthy. And that kind of had more of an effect on me or something. And all those kind of just positive affirmations about I am doing this, I am going to run whatever it was, 16K at the time or whatever it was, and I'm going to do it well and I'm going to do my best and I will be fine. And I, like, when you repeat those kind of things often enough, you believe it and your body starts reacting to it. Like, your body will respond to what the thoughts you have in your head. So it does work. It absolutely does work.
And you have 3 hours of it of a long run, so you have to do it. I had to be saying that. I had to be, and like, people will be listening to this going, like, oh, that's like, that's madness, but it works. Because even when I did the half marathon in, where was I? Can't remember. Valencia. I did feck all training because I'm so busy with work that I was like, if I get through this without an injury, all I did was to keep me going was glutes, hamstrings. I kept all the prime working muscle groups in the body going. And I think I hit about 12K and I was like, what am I doing? Like, you've done no training. You feckin' idiot. Like, you're over here now and you're absolutely banjacks tired. And then I went, hold on a minute now. And then I thought of my brother who's in a wheelchair and can't move. So I reframed it really, really quickly. All those thoughts were coming in and it was eating away at me. And I went, hold on. And I thought of my brother, and then I went, do you know what? And then the mindset changed. Then I can do hard things. I can do this. I get to do this. And I kept talking to myself for 3K. And next thing, I flew the rest of it. Isn't it mad?
Yeah, yeah. It's totally like that. And the other thing is too, just when you're doing the long runs, I never looked at the time. I never knew how long my long run was until the end. I had a watch. So I just clocked up the Ks. And it was on the heart rate setting anyways. So the time was never there. And I think that's one bit of advice I would say. Don't be looking at the time. You know you're going to be running for a good while. Don't be torturing yourself by looking how long am I running now. Just wait until the end. Focus on your kilometres, what you have to run. Get that done and you'll find out your time in the end. Because even in the day of the marathon, I knew I was going to be at it a long time, but I never looked at my time. I said, I'm not going to torture myself. I know it's going to take me a while, but I'm just going to focus on the kilometers, clocking up the kilometers. And just, I think time would wreck your head if you're there thinking, oh my God, I'm 2.5 hours at this. How much longer have I to go? That would just get into you and your energy would be just wasted on thinking about that. So you're better off just actually forgetting about time altogether and going into your own zone and just focus on what you're doing at the moment, which is just trying to run fast, run slow, walk fast, whatever you want to do, and just focus on where you're going and where you want to get.
Yeah, and that's it. I never look at time until the last 5K. And then I look to see, oh, what will I do? And then I'm like, actually, I'm not arsed. I did that in the Valencia. I went, geez, I could possibly make this in the two. And then I went, actually, I'm not arsed.
Yeah, yeah.
And instead, I went on an Instagram Live. I did an Instagram Live instead while I was running.
Great crack.
Yeah, I said, you know what? I'm not bothered. I'm just going to go with the flow, because if I pushed myself, I'd be afraid it'd be that last K that would get me an injury. And yeah. I went, you know what? I'm not arsed. And I was just like, I'm happy to finish the finish line. So come here, loads of messages now, because I don't want the podcast to go over too long, because I think it's long enough and short enough for people. Loads of messages. If someone is thinking about it and they had a year, build up your base with your muscle. Get the mind to muscle connection, your breath, the glutes, get your pace. Don't be worrying about time. Your breathing will come. I would definitely recommend, and I'd say you would probably recommend, go get a VO2 max test done. Unreal.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. If you want to do a marathon, my advice is you have time. Give yourself a year. You do need a year. Figure out exactly why you want to do it. What is your goal? Everyone's reason for doing a marathon is completely different. Like, people have different stories. People have times they want to meet. Some people just want to finish it. People are doing it for a charity, whatever the reason. And focus on that reason through the whole time. Don't care about what anyone else thinks, because some people kind of think you're a bit mad doing a marathon. You're doing it for yourself. You don't really care what everybody thinks. Get a good plan in place. Stick to it. You have to be consistent with the runs. You really do have to be consistent. But sometimes runs will not work out well, and that's okay. Just go back the next week and start again. You will complete it if you get a good plan in place and you're consistent with your running. And you do need to look after your diet a bit. But that will all come. That will all come with progress. And it will all, like, the runs naturally come easier to you. Even the long ones, they'll all naturally come easier to you the more you do them of them. But the main thing is, figure out your own reason for wanting to do a marathon and just focus on that. And anytime you might have little doubts, just go back to that reason why you want to do it and do it for yourself. Don't do it for your kids. Don't do it because your husband did it. Don't do it because everyone thinks you're super fit. Just do it for yourself. That's all you have to do. Put yourself first and say, I'm going to do this because this is what I want to do. And I want to see, can I finish this? And that's the main thing. It's your thing. It's your marathon. It's your run. It's for you completely. No one else. And you are the center of it all, basically. And
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. That's brilliant. I love it. No, that's, come here. Okay, sign up, lad. So post-marathon, what's the crack now? You come off the marathon, your training plan's changed again, and you've booked into something else.
Yeah, I kind of said I gave myself 2 weeks there. I did nothing, and I did my first park run there on Saturday, and like I said, that was lovely. It was lovely come to a run. So I kind of said to myself, I didn't come on a downer after doing it, but I said I better keep this going. I don't want to give up the run, and if anything now, I'm more into it. I've signed up for a half marathon now in Westport on the 13th of April, so that's going to be my goal. And I think maybe into 2024 I might just focus a little bit more on half marathons. But I definitely think I could do a marathon another year. Some other time I definitely will do it. But that's basically it. And I really want to just build up on my muscles. I missed the online classes, so I want to just get back into strength and conditioning more. So that's kind of my focus really for next year anyways. And keeping the running up. If anything, just for the headspace, getting away, getting out in the fresh air, getting your daylight in, it's just, there's so many benefits. It's unreal. And you don't really realize until you start doing it yourself and giving it a try.
Good. I love your plan because you're going to love the halves now and use the halves to travel around the country and look at different areas and different experiences. And that's what I use the halves for, as an experience. It's not really the run. It's the excitement of getting there, the excitement of doing it, a new area, looking around, looking at all the buzz and the crack and watching people and getting inspired by. As you said there in the marathon, there's people there that are way older than you,
Can I just say about that, Karina? There was women there well in their 50s, 60s. They were ahead of me. I could not pass them out. They were mighty women. There was three, even coming towards the end, there was three women and they were easily in their 60s. Fucking hell, like, I could not get them. And they were absolutely mighty. And they were so positive towards each other. They were kind of running together. And I remember one of them said to them, well, we stop for a break. And the other one said, no, we'll keep going now. If we don't keep going now, we'll stop the momentum. We'll just keep going. And like, we'd only about, probably 2 or 3K to go at this stage. Brilliant. I mean, it's marathons. There's no age limit on marathons. Like, I was passing out young fellas that I would have thought would have been super fit. And yet there was older women passing me out. So really and truly, it's very individual thing. It doesn't really come down to age or size or weight or anything like that. It's very individual. You'll see anyone doing a marathon, anyone, shape, size, age, young, old, and you'll be surprised who seems fitter than who other. Like, you really will be. And there was a lot of power walkers there as well. I remember there was two power walkers. They were mighty. I mean, they just walked the whole thing. Power walking the whole thing, absolutely mighty. It's absolutely brilliant. Like I said, there's no age limit on it, and there's no fitness limit on it either. You can really, it's totally doable. That's what I discovered too. It's totally doable. It really is. Put a right plan in place, you can totally do it.
As a physio said to me, Alex, remember Alex that used to work with us before she started in Trinity College lecturing, and she just got too busy. She said, we were born to run. If there was someone chasing after you, you'd run. What I would say is definitely get a plan, because there is a bit of structure of building up the glutes and understanding the mechanics of the body first.
Yes.
Or otherwise, you could make it a very knee and ankle focused exercise. Like, you could get the knowledge first and just to know a little bit about the mechanics of the body and how to utilize the glutes and the hamstrings and the posture and the breath.
Yeah, totally. You do need a good plan. You do need, and a good plan will keep you focused. Once you have a good plan in place, you will get up. If it's left to yourself, you mightn't get up and do the runs. But once you know you have to get three runs or you have to do a glute exercise or whatever it is, you will do it if it's down there in a plan, because you know it's structured for you and it's easier to follow then. I found it much easier to follow than if I was kind of trying to do my own thing. Once I had the plan for each week, I was away with it. Like,
yeah, that's it. So Evelyn, thanks a mil. So yeah. I'll be looking forward now to hopefully booking in some half marathons with you until I get my own full one done. Which one?
No bother to you, Karina, anyways, doing full. You're well on your way now.
I know. I need to psych myself up though. I'm like you. I need to plan. I need to psych myself up. And it's just a goal. It's nice to be able to say, my reason is to say I have it done and that I can prove to myself that I can do it, especially coming from 5 years ago with sore knees and sore back and tight IT bands. I thought I'd never be able to get past 5K. So the fact that you said, when you build it up, you're like, oh, I can totally do this. And it wasn't until the last half of marathon when I finished it without a bother, I was like, I could have pushed through to 35 before I started to hit a wall, I'd say. So I just want to see what I can do.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. And just there, you know, about hitting the wall, just a little bit of comment there. People say we're always on about hitting this wall, what this bloody wall was. I never knew. But anyways, I do get it's probably when you reach a point and you're like, oh my God, this is really, really hard. I don't know how much more I can take. But But it was only afterwards I realized I was trying to think, when did I hit my wall? And my sister said to me, well, you hit your wall in the first half of the marathon because you got sick, you felt sick, but you kept going. So that was your wall. And that was how you pushed through that. So I was like, oh yeah, that totally was, because that was my point where I probably could have given up, but I didn't. And I just kind of said, yeah, that was my wall. That's where I hit my wall. So people's walls are different, like, as well, I think, too, in the marathon. Like,
yeah, oh, definitely. Like the half of 12K in, my wall was my mindset.
Yeah.
Like, because the little voice came in going, you might injure yourself. And then I went down a spiral in my head until I came out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. Come here, we better go. Come here. I really appreciate you coming on, taking the time out. I definitely know a lot of people will get a lot of good inspiration and tips or tricks from this podcast, because you've done. So you're the one to tell the stories, which is good.
Yeah, and look, it's always good to talk to someone who's been through it themselves, like, and get like firsthand experience, like, you know. So look, it was great to do it, and I'm glad it might encourage some other people to do it, especially maybe mammies who've had a few kids and they kind of think they'll never get their energy back, they'll never get that motivation back. You will get it back. You just have to put yourself first.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Come here. Thank you so much, Petra. Friday morning.
Okay. Talk to you soon.
Thanks,
bye.
Bye.
Now, guys, did you enjoy that? Because I know I did. I've listened to it a few times. She is super inspiring, and I'm so proud to call Evelyn an EcoFitness legend of a member. And she's going to inspire so many, not only my members, but she's going to inspire so many to just make the time for yourself, because guess what? You're worth it, and it can be done. So guys, we have a question box there. Let us know what you thought of the podcast. Let's give Evelyn some love. And if you have any questions at all, you can drop them into the question box. And guys, as always, I am available for online coaching, in-person coaching when it comes to your health and your fitness. So if you're interested in working with myself, Karina Duffy from EcoFitness, go to the website www.ecofitness.ie. Go to the contact box, fill it in, tell me from the drop-down menu what you're interested in getting help with, and I will get back to you ASAP. Parts of that, guys, as always, thanks for listening. Oh, and by the way, to help other people find the podcast, reviews do work and they do help. So if you had a few seconds to spare to drop us an old review onto the podcast channel, that would be absolutely shamazing. Thanks for listening, guys. Ciao, ciao. We'll be right back.